In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, the period of the 50 holy days is a very special period in the Coptic Orthodox Church. The Church's readings during the 50 days revolve around the theme of the Heavenly Bridegroom, who is always present in our midst. Each week we learn another amazing quality about the resurrected Christ. The prominent feature, though, and the feeling that we have in the Church during these 50 days is the theme of joy. The theme of happiness. The Church lives this life of happiness, and you can see it in everything that we do here. You see that the tunes that we sing during the 50 days are a victorious, joyous tune. We see the curtains of the resurrected, victorious Christ on them, very joyous. We do the procession around before the gospel, chanting, "The Christ is risen." It's all very joyful and very happy. The resurrected Lord's presence with the disciples led them to experience this joy, which lasted them for the rest of their lives. It is quite appropriate then that in today's gospel, we hear our Lord Jesus Christ urging us to be happy and joyful. He says the famous verse, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." It is a proclamation of victory over death, victory over the enemy and the world, and a call for us all to be joyful. It's quite interesting, though, to look at the background around when he said this to his disciples. So, well, let's have a look at that. A bit of a background. This is our Lord Jesus Christ's last conversation with the disciples as a group. He was just talking about being arrested and being crucified the next day. Jesus is talking about very dark and very horrible things happening. He spoke about a traitor being in the midst of the group. And he talked about his death, an excruciatingly violent death. And then at the end of this conversation, he says to his disciples, "Be of good cheer." Isn't that a bit strange to be talking about such dark things, such violent things, such bad things that are happening, and then end it with "Be of good cheer"? The disciples were all very, frightened and they didn't know what was going on, and they didn't even understand what he was talking about. Imagine if we were put in that position. We were just about to be arrested, or we knew we were just about to go through a lot of, violent, beatings or something like that. How hard would it be easy for us to go and tell the people we love, our parents, our wife, our children, "Don't worry, be of good cheer, be happy, regardless of what's going to happen"? It doesn't seem to make sense. So why is Christ he's talking to them to be of good cheer? Okay, the first half of verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." So in this verse we see a comparison of sorts between what the world provides us and what our Lord Jesus provides us. He clearly says, "In me you have peace. And in the world, you have tribulation." So all of us here are trying to lead a righteous life with our Lord. But the fact of the matter is we're all living within this fallen world, whether we like it or not. This world is a world of sin and sorrow. Around every corner is another opportunity of sin. And then if we avoid the sin, there is always the inevitable sorrow that will come from this living in this world. Mankind being kicked out of paradise, we are now subject to the sorrows of this fallen world, whether it is sickness, death, betrayal, jealousy, lust, pride. All these things come and approach us at some stage in our life, and we may fall to them. One important thing to note, Christ did not say to his disciples, "If you follow me, you will not have any tribulations." He didn't dodge the fact that his children will experience hardships and troubles in this world. Every single one of us. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us more than anything in the world, but still we could be poor, we could be sick, we could be going through the worst tribulations. When you look at some of the saints of the Bible, we realize that nobody was immune from the pains of the fallen world. The Bible understands depression and heartbreak because so many of them experienced it themselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself wept and was heartbroken when he saw Mary and Martha crying after Lazarus died. King David mourned in public after he found his son had been slain in war. Elijah and Jonah wanted to die because they were unhappy with the tribulations they were facing. Job cursed the day of his birth. King Hezekiah had sores all over his body. These are things that we all have to endure living in this fallen world. Even the saints in the Bible endured it. But yet the Lord calls us to be of good cheer despite all these things. How's that? It's easy to have good cheer when all is going well in our life. If we've got a good job and our family's all good and we've got a nice big car and everything's all and it's nice and sunny outside, it's very easy to put a smile on your face. But you have to remember something, and this is something that should define us as Christians and set us apart from others. As Christians, being of good cheer should not be based on the absence of trouble in our life, but rather it is based on the fact that the Lord is victorious even in the midst of our trouble. One reason Christians often are no happier than everyone else is because we're caught pursuing the same way the world says defines happiness. So the world's happiness revolves around those things. It revolves around popularity and prestige and money and all these things. However, the Lord has a totally different concept of what happiness is. If we stop chasing what the world chases and believe what the world believes, we can live a happier, more joyful, more peaceful life. Our good cheer is rooted in the victorious, resurrected Lord, not a feeling or a circumstance. Our treasure, our eternal portion, what we're aiming for in this life, it's all in heaven. It's in a place where nothing can be taken away from it. And regardless of what tribulation we're going through in our life, what we are aiming for in life cannot be taken away from us. We are foreigners in this world, and we're only here for a short time. Our citizenship is in heaven. So don't be surprised when things don't go your way in this world. The Lord himself said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Because we're not of this world, we have to understand that we are against the world. And so we may be hated just as Christ was hated here. So yes, the Lord said we have tribulation in this world, but he also said that within him we can find peace, regardless of whatever outside influences there are. If you look at Paul and Silas in the Bible, they were preaching the word of God and they were exorcising demons. And because of that, they got beaten up and they got thrown into jail. Now, any person that's not rooted in Christ, if that happened to them, they got beaten up and they got thrown into jail, I think they'd be quite depressed. They'd be quite upset. When you look at Paul and Silas and what they did that night, they were praising and they were singing hymns in prison. They were of good cheer because they had the peace of the victorious Lord in their hearts. Now we reach the second part of verse 33. Christ says, "I have overcome the world." This statement alone should give us joy, whatever our situation in life is. Christ has overcome the world. He reigns victorious. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. All authority is his in heaven and on earth. The war between good and evil has already been fought and has already been won by our Lord. We are now to live in this victory. When I think about the verse, "I have overcome the world," it just makes me feel so safe in the Lord's hands. Safe in knowing that Christ is more powerful than any tribulation that I'll face in this world. Safe in knowing that the powers of darkness have no control over me, because the Lord already has defeated those powers. Christ not only overcame the world, but allowed us to share in his victory and become conquerors too. Didn't the Lord himself give us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all powers of the enemy? Christ, as the head of our army, gives us his children the authority to share in his victory and use his power to conquer evil we encounter every single day. I'd like to conclude by reading a passage from Romans, which I feel really sums up why we should be in good cheer regardless of our situation. This is from Romans chapter 8. "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" So it's listing the tribulations in this world. "As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.'" Isn't that beautiful? We us are more than conquerors through Christ, the ultimate conqueror. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How beautiful are these words. There is nothing in this world, no situation that we'll find ourselves in, no tribulation, no sickness, no hardship that will ever be able to separate us from the love of Christ, the all-powerful, conquering and resurrected Christ. That's more than enough reason to be a good Jew. Glory be to God forever. Amen.